All right, welcome to the Aging Well Together show. We have a really great show planned for today. We're going to talk about a brand new program that is starting in March at our wonderful senior center here in Chapel Hill, aka the Seymour Center, the Encore Sentimental Journey Chorus. I am so excited, and we're really lucky. We are actually taping this because we have the wonderful team bringing us this new singing and artistic opportunity. But two of our guests are actually in Washington, D.C. So sorry we don't have the kind of budget to fly you all in to the studio. They're laughing. But we have a great group. We have the artistic directors from Encore Creativity for Older Adults, Dr. Marianne East and Catherine Harsha. I hope I said that well, as well as a local friend, Susan Stedman, who will be the conductor locally for the Sentimental Journey Singers, and they'll help with all the ways to describe it. But I grew up singing in choruses, so I am so excited and so looking forward to all we'll discuss together. But as always, before we dive into our show, I want to give a shout out to WCOM LP Chapel Hill Carrboro for hosting our weekly Aging Well Together show. You can catch our show every Thursday from 2 to 3 on 103.5 FM if you are within a 1 mile radius around the Carrboro area. But how a lot of folks listen to us is you can stream us live through WCOMFM.org. And also, we'll talk in a moment about how you can listen to our podcast. But thank you so much. The Aging Well Together show is brought to you by the always amazing team at the Orange County Department on Aging. Besides being our wonderful sponsors for the show, and they are expert guests on the show, and we have such a wonderful, it's just the kind of the beginning of 2026, and I've been working with the team over at Orange County Department on Aging, and we have so many cool shows planned throughout the year, so they come on as experts. But wonderful Marilyn over at the Orange County Department on Aging, she posts all of our previous shows on the Orange County website. So you can catch any of our past shows. And this is really exciting. This is show 99. So next week, this is a shout out. Next week is going to be our 100th celebration. Janice Tyler and Marilyn Hole is going to be coming on, and we're still planning for some fun things, but you can listen to any of our past 98 shows and this show soon, probably in the next 24 hours. So you can find us on the Orange County website. You can also find a range of Orange County aging resources. So this is where you pick up your pens or pencils, and you can go to Orange County Department on Aging's website, and that is www. OrangeCountyNC.gov/aging, OrangeCountyNC.gov/aging. I always make a big deal. You have to put the NC or you're going to end up in Orange County, California. And there's so many cool resources here in Orange County, North Carolina. I don't want you to miss them. So go to the website. If you want to go old school and pick up the telephone, if you have questions, you can call the Orange County Department on Aging with a range of questions, and you can reach them. The main number is 919-968-2070. And if you have any questions about our shows or want to suggest a topic or a person or an organization, this is how we came about with this show today. Please reach out and email me at agingwelltogethershow@gmail.com. That's one long email, agingwelltogethershow@gmail.com. But I'm always thrilled with people find that reach out, and like we are booked through May, I think now. So this is really exciting. And I constantly am meeting people and thinking our listeners will really appreciate learning about that. So always booking new folks, and I'm really excited for today's show. You're going to hear my voice, whose voice you are not hearing, Alicia Reed. I miss you, Alicia. Alicia is host of the show After Hours, Afternoon Talk with Alicia, and she is generally my co-host. But Alicia is phenomenal, and when she is not being an amazing wellness instructor with the Orange County Department on Aging, she is a dedicated community volunteer. And folks, it is early voting time, and she is one of our amazing volunteers at our election sites. So on the last show, I did all of the different times that people can vote, but our studio is at the Drakeford Public Library. That's one of the early voting sites. I don't know, for the next 2 weeks from like, I don't know, 8 to 7:30, just get out and vote. It's the primaries. Folks normally don't realize it's voting time, but this is the time to democracy in action. So go visit Alicia and go vote. So we don't have her with us today, but you have me, and I am Heather Altman. I've spent the last 25, I gotta update it, it's gonna be 30 years working in aging services and supports. I help older adults and their families connect with resources in our community. I'm a caregiver for older family members, and as I shared the last few shows, my sweet father just passed away recently, and so now I'm a caregiver and a griever. But I am 55, which makes me age appropriate for this event we're going to talk about. And so, but I am really focused on my own changing needs. I am super invested in how we are all aging well together. So I warned my guests I have to chat for a little while. I am done with my chatting because I got to stop talking so they can start. I am so thrilled. We have Dr. Marianne East. She is the Artistic Director of Lifelong Learning and Research at Encore Creativity, joined by her colleague, Catherine Harsha, who is the Artistic Director for Programming at Encore Creativity. And we have local musician, conductor, singer. They have all kinds of fabulous backgrounds. Active volunteer and church musician in our area and all kinds of backgrounds. We have Susan Stedman, who's going to be the conductor of the Sentimental Journey Singers. So I'm going to stop talking now and just say welcome to the chorus of women I'm looking at. Welcome.
Thank you.
How was that? All right. So we got to dive all, we got a lot of things to talk about. I want to talk about Encore Creativity. I want to talk about this new pilot. I want to talk about that's happening here in Chapel Hill. But as always, I first want to dive in deep. You each were so kind and you sent me your backgrounds, but we decided there'd be just too much Heather talking. I don't need to be a soloist for that long. I'm going to see how many musical references I can throw into
I
this.
love that. Yes.
But so I want to turn it over to each of you to share a little bit about your background and how you got so interested in music and creativity. Dr. Marianne East, Marianne, why don't we start with our Encore Creativity folks? So I'll start with you and then we'll have Catherine next. But tell us a little bit about you.
Sure. Thank you, Heather. I have been a musician, I think, since birth. We always had music in our house. My brother and sister both sang musical theater, all the things, ballet and piano lessons and all the things. And I initially started out my career as a public school music teacher. And I taught everything from elementary all the way up through high school, and loved that part of my life. And as I got married and had kids and wanted to be home a little bit more, I shifted and started teaching at George Mason University as an adjunct professor so I could have that flexibility to be at home with my kids when I wanted to be at home. And I was there for 15 years. In the midst of that, looking for things to do once my kids got in school, during the day. And I literally stumbled across an ad for a conductor for Encore Creativity. And I said, wow, this meets during the day. So that would be great that I can do some work while the kids are at school and be home more in the evening. And so I started out in 2018 as a conductor for one of our chorales in Arlington, Virginia, and absolutely fell in love with the group, with working with older adults, the eagerness to learn, the graciousness, the history that they have and their life story that they bring each week. And I really enjoyed the camaraderie of the conductors and what we did and the team. And so I stayed, and as things grew, my position grew as well. At the end of that first season, our founder, Jean Kelly, asked me to help her start this program. We didn't know what we were going to call it yet. But she knew we needed something to keep people singing. that when our chorales and our rocks and now our Broadway programs, when it gets a little bit too difficult, her mission was to keep people singing as long as possible. And so she called and said, it's time for us to do the next thing and to figure out what that is. And so we used a resource called Giving Voice, which is an organization out of Minneapolis, and they are kind of the gold standard for dementia-friendly choirs. And we went to them and asked them for some guidance and started our Sentimental Journey Singers program. And I know we'll talk more about exactly what that is, but I again, did not go into life saying, I'm going to work with people with dementia. But I love it. I absolutely adore being in the space where people light up and come alive with music and connect to their loved ones and their friends. It's been a wonderful, wonderful journey. And now I'm working to bring in research back into what we do and looking at what's being done and what that can tell us about how we can work with our singers in a more effective way, not just for singing, but for overall creative aging and health, as well as conducting some of our own research and looking at what we're doing and how we can do it better.
Oh my gosh, I'm having to quiet the voices in my head right now. There's so many follow-up questions, and I am going to try to have some moment of restraint for exactly, I don't know how long. I have like seven follow-up questions and comments and stories, and I'm not going to say any of them right now because I'm going to say thank you and we're going to dive a lot deeper. Catherine, tell us about you and your, I feel like I'm having so much fun with these words, of your journey into sentimental journey and encore creativity.
I love that. Thank you so much, Heather. And Marianne, I love that your sort of musical journey is so intertwined with the life stages because, that's our careers don't live in a vacuum, right? They live interconnected with our life stages. And it's a part of what makes encore creativity so great. Our singing voices and our ability to function as musicians also is intertwined with our life stages, right? So life stages are just such a big part of who we are as musicians. So I came, same as Marianne, I came to the profession of music sort of as a result of not wanting to do anything else in the end. I've been doing some form of music since I was four, with piano lessons and then, church choir and bell choir and orchestra and all the things. So I got a bachelor's in piano performance and then I got my master's in conducting. And same, I didn't work in the education side of things, but teaching has always just been a huge part of who I am and what I gravitate towards. So I was working with youth orchestras and community orchestras and teaching at the local college when we lived in Cleveland, Ohio, and getting to do all this incredible work, not only with choirs, but also with orchestras and opera programs. And all of it is so exciting. And when we came to Maryland, as a family, we all moved here in about 2008. I was eventually introduced to the CEO of Encore Creativity by someone who I'd worked with in Cleveland, who said, "You and Joshua Vickery are very much aligned. You need to meet. It just makes sense in this world that you guys would be working together somehow. Please go have lunch." And that person was in Florida, and I had moved from Cleveland. So eventually I met Joshua Vickery, who had taken over as the CEO of Encore Creativity. And we absolutely hit it off. There is this alignment of music for the sake of fantastic music making, but also music for the sake of building communities. And for me, that's always been a big sweet spot of mine is I feel so connected to the people that I perform with and that I sing with and that I rehearse with and that I sit next to. And building those spaces and those opportunities for other people was just so ingrained in who I am. And Joshua sees things in very much the same way. It's a part of the Encore ethos. So for me, the same. I was actually working in another job and agreed to take on one Encore ensemble. And Marianne's laughing because we know, Susan, we're watching you right now because as you have one Encore ensemble that you're starting with, this is the gateway to many Encore
I was about to say, is
ensembles.
this the gate? I'm more inappropriate. I was gonna say, is this the gateway drug? Like you do
Yes,
one
my
and then
friend.
you're like, you're completely addicted and you've got to do more. All right, poor Susan. Okay.
It was, I know, sorry, we didn't tell you that part, Susan, but and for me it was I say to conductors because I get to train our new conductors as they're coming in, an Encore ensemble is the very best ensemble you'll ever lead. First of all, nobody's got their nose in their phones. You never have to say to people, please put your phones away during rehearsal. We are here to focus. Everybody is there because they've chosen to be there. Everybody's there because they want to do this and they're fully engaged in participating. So that part of it is just so delightful. The other thing that I love about working with adults over the age of 55 is they were all professionals in their field. They all rose, in many cases, to the very highest levels of the work that they did. And they bring that level of professionalism and expectation into the rehearsal space. So, for example, we were talking in one of the rehearsals and saying, okay, to get a good warm tone, we'd like you to raise your soft palate. And somebody raised their hand and said, be more specific. What's your soft palate? And
Oh,
another person raised their hand and said, wait, wait, I was a pediatrician. I spent many years explaining to people how to find your soft palate. Let me walk you through this. The collective wisdom in the room is unmatched in an encore rehearsal. And because everybody has chosen to be there and is bringing their best selves into that space, it just becomes this delightful learning opportunity for everyone, including the conductor. And so it's just the most gratifying place to work. Every single one of the singers is such a joy, and the collective group experience is amazing. I absolutely fell in love with Encore, ended up quitting my other job, taking on eventually five Encore ensembles, and then stepping into this role. Yeah, because it was just so closely aligned with the joy that I think music brings us, and the community building that we get to do through music. So it's been a wonderful journey here.
Oh my gosh, the restraint. Okay, thank you. And I will, the only thing I will say now is it's amazing. And with the Aging Well Together show, we have a number of shows that really focus. Last week was all on the Senior Olympics and building community around either athletic, but there's a whole artistic component. I don't know if you know that, to the Senior Olympics here, the Senior Games. I almost said Senior Olympics, the Senior Games here. But this idea of building community, we talk about that often on the show and different ways to build community and use your voice literally and figuratively. So love it. All right, Susan, we have so much to dive into, but no, we want to hear about you two and your journey that brought you to this discussion and apparently the beginning of a whole new journey where you're going to have multiple ensembles. But let's figure out where you've been because now we already know where you're going.
Good to know, huh? Good to know. I began music, formal music instruction when I was 8 years old because I was of a family where the father said, "You will study music." Well, that was okay because I was in my parents' bedroom when I was about 4 years old, and my mother had a vanity that had glass shelves, and I sat down at the glass shelves and I was pretending to play. I had one hand on one level and one on the other. And Daddy came in and he said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "I'm playing the organ." And so Daddy said, "Would you like to study music?" And of course, I'm 4 years old. "Well, yeah, sure." So Daddy took that ball and ran with it. So I began piano lessons at the age of 8, because the piano teacher in town wouldn't take anyone earlier than that. And so I studied piano in my small hometown. I began playing for my church at the age of 10, playing church services, and began studying organ at the age of 12 and playing church services on the organ there. So I've got my undergrad degree from Meredith College in Raleigh in music, and then my master's degree from UNC Greensboro in choral conducting. When I was in high school, I got hooked on choirs, and it was the love of my life. And I knew then that I wanted to sing and be in choirs and conduct choirs. I've always wanted to be a music educator because what I found in my musical experience is that a little girl in a small town in rural North Carolina can be a musician. And what that told me was anybody can. And I would hear people say, I can't sing. I can't read music. I can't do music. And I thought, oh, yes, you can. So my mission was go out into the world and put music in the hands of the people. So I taught public school music, loved it, absolutely loved it. Had children who were toward the end of my tenure with Durham County Schools, had children from the projects who, they're not going to go home and listen to Bach, right? But in my classroom, they did, and they loved it. And it turned on a whole new world for them. Everyone knew in the school, yes, you can sing. Yes, you can, and it boosted their confidence. So that just lit the fire even more. When I was 10 years old, my mother took me to what back then was called a rest home. Now we call them assisted living or, whatever, but and she wanted me to play the piano for the people there. And I remember walking into that room with what seemed to me ancient people. Now I'm getting close to that. So they weren't all that old. But they were sitting in wheelchairs in chairs with their heads down and all. And in my community, hymns were important. Church going was important. I know that things have changed in society, but back then that was the mainstay. So we sang a couple of pieces and they just kind of, but then I started playing hymns. And these people who could not tell me their name could sing every word of every verse of every hymn. And I went, wow, there's something there. Now, Marianne and Encore and certainly other research agencies have found the physical, psychological, and technical reasons why that's happening. But as a 10-year-old, I knew there was something there. And it's sort of like now the research is backing what I knew all along, the power of music, the power of music to reach back into our memories, certainly in our hearts. And so my goal is to take music to the people, and this time people 55 and older, to help them. Yes, you can sing. And yes, your voice is aging, but we have ways to help you navigate that. And those are healthy ways. And we'll be doing some movement, which is healthy. And the thing about, you haven't asked this yet, so I may be jumping the gun, but the thing about sentimental journey singers is it's not performance driven, it's process driven. So what that means is you come to us, or in this case, to me, and I'm going to help create a space that is safe, that is inviting, and that is encouraging you to just open up and enjoy yourself. And we will learn new music and we will read music, but it won't be, you gotta read it right now and you gotta do it this way because we've got a performance coming up. There is joy in learning how to read music, and we're gonna find that joy together. So I'm really excited about that.
Oh, I am. You are listeners. I hope you're enjoying as much as me, and I can't stop smiling. And also, it's really this is coming to me at a really powerful and emotional time in my life, but also just the excitement. I think I've done a lot well, a lot well, things fine in my life. But my big failure, my big sadness is that, and I was a singing and a performer through my childhood, is I don't know how to read music. And my, my husband's family, they're musical, but so it was always really frustrating to me that and I've tried a few times to learn to read music, but I love perform, so that ended up kind of affecting me. So to be with three people who really early on just found it, and just yesterday I was with colleagues with a very young child, and she's like, "Should we do piano lessons?" And those of us that were older parents were like, "Yes, do it." I mean, it didn't take with my girls, but open up that opportunity because it's a language, and if they know it early on, and all three of you are so inspiring, and that power early on, just okay. But the other power, and I want to combine, is I'm hearing two big pathways of calling, if you will, and you merge them together. The calling, and Marianne, you started talking about the calling of like working with older adults. I call it like the sort of accidental passion that you found yourself working with older. I did that too as a teenager. It just happened to be the place to get a job not too far from my house, and I fell in love with working with older adults and aging. But so it's a calling. And then Susan, you talked about it, and Catherine, the calling of music. And bringing music and creating community around music, but also infusing that music into the calling of working with older adults. So it just and seeing the power of it. So I'm so excited. I feel like we should take a step back, and I'm like, should we do the power of music? Why don't we take a step back and talk about Susan, you started to, why don't we continue with the thread? You started to talk about the power of music, and there has, and I've been in tons of dementia education. Let's talk about why music is so important for older adults. And I think that will then go into tell us about encore creativity. But you said it a little bit, but any of you that want to, things that we have found, I won't answer for you, but you talk a little bit about what we have seen. And Susan, you just started us when you were 10 years old playing, and people all of a sudden knew all the words to all the hymns.
So, Encore grew out of research. We were founded as part of the Creative Aging Research Study in 2001 by Dr. Jean Cohen at George Washington University. And through grants from NEA and NIH, he launched a 3-year study of music, singing, dance and theater. And so the choral group was here in DC, and then there was a dance troupe and a theater troupe. And so they had participants that were 60 and older at that time. That was their grouping. And they took them through semesters for 3 years of learning and performing. And then periodically would collect data. So everything from self-reported health and mental health and social pieces. And what they found was all three were wonderful, but the most compelling data came from the singers. And that included less doctor's visits, taking less medication. Less falls, becoming more involved in other community activities outside of just the choir, and better mental health, better mood, more energy. So all of these things, and of course now there's been lots of research and there continues to be great research in this area that tells us that this is good for us cognitively, physically, socially, mentally. And basically at the end of the study, if you've ever participated in one, they say, thank you very much, we are done. And the singers didn't want to be done. They wanted to keep saying, what do you mean it's over? What do you mean we're not going to sing together anymore? And so Gene Kelly, who was the choir director during that study, really started to look at what would it mean to have a community choral organization that was focused on 55 and older. I know in our area in DC, there are scads of community choirs, but what would it look like to have a group and an organization that was really focused on that idea of singing in community and aging? And so she got some funding and started some more groups in the area. because she also found that at this stage in life, no one wants to drive at night and no one wants to drive very far. So it's much more important if we try to come to you in your community than trying to pull everybody into DC, for instance, to come to a rehearsal. And it really just grew from there, that we started with what we now call our chorale, which is our community kind of sing a variety of music. We sing everything from gospel to classical music to we're doing an opera chorus this semester, American Songbook. And then we added a rocks group. We now have Encore Rocks Group, and they do all popular and rock music
Okay, I
through
want in
the
on that one. Okay,
decades.
go on. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's fun because it's not just rock music from the era of the participants, but all the way up to modern day. And I know one of our conductors, I've heard him say, you might not know this song, but you can bond with your grandkids over it
Exactly.
as they learn Coldplay or something, something that's more modern. And then we just started a Broadway group that's all show tunes, and that is taking off. Catherine can talk more about that and how much that's really taking off. So we are now the nation's largest choral organization. We have over 2,500 singers that sing with us around the country. We are physically in 8 states and downtown DC, and then we also offer online singing. And so through the online folks, we reach 4 more states where we don't have physical groups yet.
This is so cool, and bravo for weaving in both the questions that I was stumbling over, which is what is the research? And I think there's even more about the benefits, but it's actually, I didn't realize that. I didn't do enough of my research before, and that actually was the foundation of how Encore Creativity for Older Adults was created. Catherine, did you want to build on to that or talk more about, because I can just, and I know at some point we're going to get to local, what's happening here in Chapel Hill, but how do you create, like, are all of your ensembles, if I said it right, in the DC area? Like, how does that happen? Like, what state are you in? Blah, blah, blah.
So I am living in the DC area as well, and by now I'm just conducting 3 ensembles and working directly with the other conductors and repertoire. But all of our chorale ensembles sing the same repertoire. So for example, 2 of my singers were just visiting their daughter up in New York City, and they popped into the Encore chorale rehearsal there because they already had the music, and the rehearsals run in a sort of in the encore way, so they knew a little bit what to expect. But they were able to go and meet a whole new group of people in New York City, and interestingly, they emailed back and said afterwards it was a wonderful rehearsal. Everybody was so welcoming and friendly, and now we have 40 new friends in New York City, who are asking us to come back and sing when we go visit our daughter again next time.
I love, it's like a global timeshare or something. The fact that you can just wow, you can sing Airbnb. I don't know how to even, I'll come up with a really fun comment about that afterwards, but that's amazing. All right, go on. I'm
When
stuck
you
on
do,
that.
I love that. Let us know. The idea of Airbnb singing is
Well,
super cool.
there's other places where, you join a group and then you can travel to other states, like retirement communities, and you can stay at the other retirement communities. So there's a whole travel program. So the fact that you have that too, that's I mean, people, I've seen that in the faith community world. You go into another place you're visiting and then you're like, hey, while I'm here and it's this holiday, can I come to your services and blah, blah, blah. This is like, oh my God. Okay, so go on. So they're
So,
all on the same curricula.
we're all singing the same songs in chorale, and same for rock and rollers. Our rock and roll singers are our coolest singers. They're pretty sure of that, and I think they're right. And they're so much fun. We just have so much fun in those rehearsals, and Broadway too. Like Marianne said, it's growing faster than we can almost provide Broadway ensembles, because that music is so familiar in so many ways and so much fun. Everybody gets to sort of tap into their own inner Broadway star.
Yeah,
So
and I
all
think
of those things are great.
easier to sing. I mean, it depends on what. Maybe that's a. It depends on what the songs are. And since I used to do musical theater and couldn't read music, like any of the things that you just like belt, like just
Yeah.
talking loudly, like I had no problem singing loudly and projecting. And when I go to these middle schools and high schools now and they have microphones, I'm like, what? We never had microphones. We had to project so the people, so I'm just loud. But so any of those songs that are kind of just loud singing, which is some of the Broadway sh back in
Yep,
the
for
day.
sure.
Okay,
Well,
go
and
on.
to your point about being able to read music or not, one of the things that we find is, first of all, there are no auditions at Encore.
Yes, and I want, and that's where, as we go into the details, because I am thinking about a local person who's experiencing brain change and want and well and was a really a performance singer on top of being a physician and really wanted to participate, and it was not available for him because he wasn't able to audition, and it was at night, so it was hard for the care partner, and he did have to like remember where they left off. Like it wasn't gonna work in the cognitive space where he was, and yet he did his own performances at his adult day and then at the community where he lived. And so it just so I'm so happy this is coming to Chapel Hill because there were too many barriers to his, and he was a hardcore singer. So I love that there, and I'm like literally I'm looking to do this. I'm like, I love there's no auditions. There's nothing stressful. It's an open. But go on, tell more about it. Sorry.
No, it's you're exactly right. And part of the joy of this is that we have experienced singers in some of our groups, and we have people who are saying, I was told in junior high that I just needed to be in the audience.
Heartbreaking.
I know. And so we have everybody from all sides of the spectrum coming in and singing. And what's really wonderful about the community building that happens in these ensembles, is that people with more experience are happy to help people out who are really coming at this for the first time, maybe in their lives, or who are happy to sing by ear. You know, if you sing it to me, I can sing it back. But when you tell me I got to follow whatever is going on in this music, and why is it all in Italian, right?
No, in eggshells, she said.
Exactly,
I remember eggshells.
or Latin. And so there's this really congenial sense of being willing to help your neighbor in ensembles and rehearsals, and it just lifts everybody up in those spaces. So there's no need to be able to read music. There's no need to be worried about an audition or whether you're going to make it in. You literally can just show up. And that makes it such an open and welcoming space. It's like you said, Heather, it's such a smart way of saying it. We're removing barriers, right? We're removing barriers to the opportunity to sing because we know that singing is so impactful for everyone in every life stage, but particularly as our bodies begin to age.
Yeah, it's amazing. And I've seen all, and I've gone through a lot of, through Tipa Snow, who we've had on the show, and the dementia change, the brain change. It is amazing when you look at changing brains and as things are changing, dying, frailing in your brain. The last thing that we have going is our ability to sing and do music. So folks who are not verbal, as you said, as Susan said, and then they can sing. It is just the last part that still remains so strong. And so music, music, music. So I want to focus on what's happening now in Chapel Hill. So, and Susan, you have a good origin story, or as the kids say, your meet cute story with Encore Creativity. See, Catherine got that. Like, it's how you met and fell in love with Encore Creativity, because you had sent something to me. So, how did this coolness happening in the DC area, which my origin story, I was born in DC, so it fits into my origin story. How did this come to Chapel Hill? So, Susan, if you can share a little bit about how you found out about Encore Creativity and then about the pilot, because this came here through some partners or whoever
Yeah.
share that part, but I like your story.
I found out about Encore purely by accident, which is how a lot of wonderful things in life happen. Serendipity, as it were. I was invited to attend an open house at the Seymour Senior Center. And this was Encore was present to do a presentation of sorts. And so I showed up and sat there and just kind of, said, okay, this is interesting. And then afterward, Catherine, who was there, pulled me aside and we were chatting a little bit. And one thing led to another. And the next thing I knew, I was doing a pilot back in the fall, which was encased in a program at Seymour called Our Place, which is a wonderful, I loved that. That Our Place program was wonderful. And so I had 6 weeks there and got to know some of the people and the wonderful volunteers and Allison Smith and all. And it just that really got me hooked. But wanted to we wanted to keep Encore there. But now it's moved to its own, it's out of Our Place, which so Our Place is doing their own thing and we're going to do our thing in great cooperation with Seymour Center. But that's how it was just by accident that I went to that open house and fell
And I'll
into
do a quick program note for our listeners. Our Place, and it's literally the letter R, is and we did an episode on it a long time ago. I'm sorry, I don't have the number. Where Allison Smith, who's one of the main amazing staff members at Orange County Department on Aging, that's a special program that happens each week for individuals living with brain change and their care partners to come in and have engagement and creativity and dance and movement. And so it's Wednesdays, I think. And anyway, so that's what Susan's referring to. So if you go on the go to our listen to our podcast, there's one specifically about Our Place, and Allison Smith came on. It was a while ago. All right, so you learned about the program, Catherine. That means you've been to Chapel Hill. So yes.
I not only have I been to Chapel Hill, but both of my parents live in Chapel Hill now. They moved there when I was in college, so decades ago. They have been Tar Heel blue all of our lives. Susan is
Okay,
celebrating.
so you may have just answered one of my questions, which is how did this cool DC program get to Chapel Hill? Do we thank your parents about that? Is that how we learned about it?
It was actually in the works before I was on board in this position. Marianne, I think you can talk about the partnerships that brought us to Chapel Hill.
Well, we'll go back to Susan because I interrupted Susan to do a program note about Our Place. But so, Susan, you had met them, and then somehow lovely Catherine talked you into learning more. She just reeled you in. We're a radio show, not a TV show. So, listeners, you missed Catherine just did the fishing reel thing.
Well, Catherine didn't have to work too hard because I had already, prior to that open house, I had emailed, and I don't remember who. I was just a global email to Orange County and said, "Hey, I'd like to learn more about volunteering, and spending time." Years ago, I worked at the senior center here in Hillsboro, the Passport Senior Center, and taught fitness classes to people 55 and older. And so I was having these women, mostly women, doing aerobics and stuff. And so that's always been a passion of mine, is working with older adults. So I had reached out to Orange County, and I believe it was Allison who reached back to me and said, "Hey, we're having this open house. You might want to come," or whatever. So Catherine didn't have to work too hard to reel me in. I mean, I was already hooked. She just had to pull a little bit.
So what I want to do also in the interest of time, because I can just like take us on all kinds of directions, I want to talk about what it is, because this is coming to us, and this is we're on community radio. We don't do commercials. So we're doing a fun like commercial. We're doing outreach. We want people to join this, and they're like, this is a legit opportunity that's starting very soon. So why don't we kind of dive into like what this pilot is, and so whoever wants to take it, and then I think, and Marianne, I think it was kind of coming to you anyway about how it came here, because there we have really great friends besides our friends at Orange County Department on Aging. I know there are other partners. I don't want to say their name. I'll let you say their name, but they're my like fa some of my favorite people in this space help bring this. So why don't you talk about the origin story of bringing it now here, and then Susan and all you can help recruit.
Sure.
Promote.
So our first venture in North Carolina was up in the Cape Fear area,
Oh.
in Wilmington. And so we started, I guess about 4 years ago now, a corral, in the Cape Fear area. And a lot of times we start groups because someone knows someone who knows somebody who sings in an encore somewhere else.
That makes sense. Or I
And
was
they
like
say, well,
feeling
we
peer
want to
pressure.
do that here.
Absolutely. Peer pressure is amazing. Or like
So,
peer whatever.
yeah. So we started a chorale there, and one of the singers in the chorale, her name is Suzanne LaFollette Black.
Love Suzanne. All
Yes.
right, go on. Tell everyone who
So
Suzanne is. Sorry.
Suzanne sang in the chorale there, and Suzanne has ties to a wonderful community. She's a gerontologist. She herself has a parent who has dementia, and has walked that journey. She has done great work with
I
AARP,
was going to say she's been a colleague
and
for decades now. She is one of our
yes.
amazing pillars in the aging, the professional aging space. So
Yes.
AARP and state leaders. I just saw her at conference. Oh my gosh. Okay, great. This all is making sense
So,
now.
yeah, so she was singing in the chorale and she talked to us about Sentimental Journey Singers and said, we need this in Cape Fear. And so she helped us start a group there. And that group has grown. It now has 19 members this semester, meeting at one of their local senior centers. So she, saw the success there, and she said, "Well, guess what? I'm moving out of that area and to another area. I would love to see it in Chapel Hill."
And
So
she's close
she
colleagues
connect.
with Janice Tyler.
Yes. So she
I'm
connected
seeing the
us.
connections.
Yep,
Okay.
she connected us with Janice Tyler over at the Seymour Center, and with Allison Smith for that initial pilot.
Amazing.
And so what we decided, as Susan mentioned, was the pilot was great with our place. There were just a little bit of differences about how we wanted to do things and how our place runs their program, which is nationally acclaimed and a
Sure,
wonderful,
yeah.
wonderful program. So still with a lot of support from Allison and advertising with her participants there, we're now a separate program at the Seymour Center. Janice is still glad to host us there. And we are so glad for those partnerships because these programs would not happen without fantastic partners, both physical partners for hosting space like the Seymour Center, as well as funding partners, because we try as best we can to keep our Sentimental Journey Singers programs free to the participants because we know they have enough financial burden, and so we want this to be a resource for them. So Suzanne and Janice then kind of got us our larger cohort, Heather Burkhart from AARP Triangle.
Love me, Heather Burkhart, who's been on one of our shows to talk about AARP. We're Heather A and Heather B, and then we have a Heather Carter
Got a
that
lot of
joins
Heathers in
me.
that area.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So keep going, keep going. This is like,
And also Dementia Alliance, North Carolina.
yeah, I was gonna say, let's
And
give them a good
they,
shout out.
yes, and they also support our group in Wilmington as well. So with that partnership, just some dynamic leaders in the aging area, with contacts and connections to Duke Family Dementia Center and all kinds of things. We've made a great network down there, and we're really excited to start this program. So our program is for those with early to mid-stage cognitive change, and it's really designed as a program to bring the community together. So to bring those with the cognitive change, their care partners, to give them a chance to do something together because we know they spend a lot of time doing things for their loved one. We really want them to be engaged in something together and for the greater community to come and be a part of this. That was really intentional in our design of the program. So in this case, we don't have a corral yet, Susan. in the area yet, but it's in the works. Because a lot of times we pull our other singers from our chorales or our rocks or our other programs, but we have plenty of folks in the community that just want to be part of this. They feel, compelled, whether dementia has been a part of their life journey in some way, or they're just looking for places to volunteer and be connected to the greater community. And so we really the optimal kind of makeup of the group is to be in thirds. So one third folks with a diagnosis, one third hopefully their care partner that comes, and that care partner can be many different people, right? It can be a spouse, it can be a child, it can be a professional caregiver that comes and sings. We've seen that look many, many different ways. And then a third that are other community folks that want to come and be a part of this experience. And we also want to do some education. A lot of people say, well, I don't, what do, if I come and volunteer, what do I do? I say, you sit down and say hello, just like you would with any other person that you meet. You say, hello, my name is Marianne. What's your name? And you start a conversation as you can. And of course, what we find is as you start singing, you start conversing more. They're more engaged. And we use that music and the reminiscence of the familiar music from their childhood, to then learn new music, and to connect. And we play games, we do movement activities, we do, music bingo or name that tune or things that just engage them and really tie the community together.
So all right, so then now we're going to do like rapid fire details because I want to make sure. So for people want to participate, who so if it sounds like you've got the one third, but how do they get involved? Who do they connect with? Basically, anyone who's listening, who's interested, even me, so I can participate because I'm 55 and a half. I can participate. So give us the details about when it is and how to sign up or get more information.
Yep, it's going to meet starting on March 16th. So it's going to be Mondays from 2:30 to 4 at the Seymour Center in Chapel Hill, and you can get connected in any number of ways. The Seymour Center has information there. So if you are already there, you can certainly ask. They have flyers up and information there. You can also visit our website, www.encorecreativity.org, and you can find us under programs, and it'll be under the pilots because this is a 6-week pilot. We do pilots for 6 weeks to see how it goes, and then if it goes well, the next semester we will do a full 15-week semester with performance and things like that. But this 6 weeks is, come. There's no charge for it. We do ask people to register so that we can communicate with you and get you information as you need it. But there's no cost for it. You can register on the website. And then we will also have good old-fashioned paper and pencil registrations there for those who need that as well.
Is the hope that people do it? I'll just ask quickly that they commit to all 6 Mondays at from 2:30 to 4, starting on the 16th. Is that the expectation?
We hope they will, but we
Okay.
know that there needs to be flexibility. There are doctor's appointments, there are things that come up. So there's no penalty at all.
Got
If you
it.
need to miss a week, we will certainly help you. And even in our 15-week semesters, we offer things like recordings to help you learn your music and things like that. So if you need to miss a week, there are other options and we can help you catch up.
I love everything about it, and I'm so glad you also did a shout out to not just the Orange County Department on Aging, but the AARP folks in the Triangle and AARP North Carolina and Dementia Alliance of North Carolina. Thank you so much. We only have about a minute or so left. Susan, what I know because you're corralling the corral. what are you most excited about? I want to be able to give you the last word since you're bringing us all in.
I'm most excited, I think, about having the opportunity to help people who need a respite from the burden of brain change, both the caregiver and the person experiencing the change. And that respite for an hour and a half of just meeting new people, not having to worry, just be reaching back and being free, reaching back into what they were like before society put all these constraints on them, as we get older, where we have all these rules that tell us how we should act, whatever, to free them from any expectation. Just give them a chance, all of them a chance to come, and give them permission to just exist and just find the music inside of them. And we have the guidelines, the music that we're going to do. We're doing some fun music. So we'll be working on that, but we're through the games that we do and all that, I'm excited about creating community most often, I think.
I love it. I love it. I hate that I have to bring our performance to an end, but Susan Stedman, thank you so much, who's going to be leading our new Sentimental Journey singers. I want to thank Marianne East and Catherine Harsha from Encore Creativity. Listeners, I want to thank you for being a part of this journey. I want to thank WCOM, LP Chapel Hill Carborough, and always the Orange County Department on Aging. I hate that we have to sign off, but I really hope that you all come back, come to another show, come sing. Susan, I'd love some of the folks to come to the station and we can actually have a performance. So know that you are a friend of the show, and any way we can help promote and give another performance venue, we're on it. But I have to end there, but thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.